I thought I would take a few minutes and say a little bit more about myself before I get started. I grew up in a military family. Actually, one of my old high school buddies from Beale Air Force Base in California, where we were both seniors in high school. We haven't seen each other for 30 years. He's here. We were in a rock and roll band together, actually. So it's a great treat for me today. But I grew up in this military family, and we traveled all over the world all the time, and lived in England and Germany growing up. And in 1968, we were living in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, which is so conservative up in the panhandle of Florida, they call it Lower Alabama. And I had my first organizing experience, actually, that year. I was working on the Nixon campaign for presidency. And I did such a great job working on that campaign as a high school kid. In fact, one of my teachers told me that he voted for Nixon because of me. So, yeah. But I did such a good job that they had this big fish fry fundraiser for Nixon. And the guest speaker was a guy you probably heard of, Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. And they had me sit at his head table with him as my reward for my hard work on that campaign. And then in 1971, after graduating from high school, I joined the Air Force, except first I flunked my physical trying to get into the military because of an old high school elbow injury. And so I had to get a waiver to get into the military when everybody else was trying to get waivers to get out. And I was sent to my first base after my training. Was a base in California, was Travis Air Force Base. It was an airlift base for the war in Vietnam. And GIs would come from all over the country and get on planes, go to Vietnam. And then when they would come back, these planes would come back, they would bring the body bags. And right across the street from my office where I worked was the flight line. And almost every day I would see these rows and rows and rows and rows of body bags lined up. And we had 15,000 permanently stationed GIs on our base. And so there was a lot of protest activity outside our gate on the weekends, usually just a handful of people, literally 10, 12 people at a time. But it created such a dynamic in the barracks, in the chow hall, on the job, for days on end, that all we would do would be to discuss the war in Vietnam. And so that experience, coupled with the publication of the Pentagon Papers, which really, after reading that, changed my whole outlook. I was very naive. I had grown up behind these bases. It was the only thing I knew was this world, you know, of militarism and Republican politics. And so my whole life changed. And so I did 3.5 years of what I called hard time. I tried to get out as a conscientious objector after the first year, but they said, "What's your history? You know, were you a Quaker?" You know, oh, no, I was a young Republican for Nixon from a military family. So, they said, "Sorry, Charlie, you know, no dice there," you know. So I did 3.5 years, and when I got out, I was going to college at the University of Florida, where I live in Gainesville, Florida. And I knew I wanted to do something good with my life. I didn't know what that meant. I just knew that after that time in the military, I had never again put myself in that kind of a situation. And so I left college right before graduation, recruited by the United Farm Workers Union, Cesar Chavez's union, to organize fruit pickers in Florida for the union, for the UFW. And so I quit college, never to return, to become an organizer. And so after doing that for some time and working on other issues, social justice issues in Florida, I then, in 1983, became the coordinator of the Florida Coalition for Peace and Justice, where I worked for 15 years. And it was there in that job, during that time, because of the presence of Cape Canaveral and the Kennedy Space Center in our state, I began working on space issues. I organized the Cassini campaign that you might have heard of that launched in 1997 with 73 pounds of plutonium on board. What I want to share with you are some of the things I've learned in all these years about what's going on with the space program. This is the headquarters of the U.S. Space Command in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You notice on the building, they have their logo, Master of Space. And in fact, they wear this as a patch on their uniform. I like to call it Master of Disaster. Because, you know, the whole idea of Master of Space, it really reminds me of like someone that's playing God. We are going to be the Master of Space. And in fact, we now know that the Pentagon is talking about owning the weather here from a Pentagon website. Weather is a force multiplier. Come to find out they're doing weather experimentation, weather modification. They're now, some of you have heard of HARP, based out of Alaska, a program where they're actually talking about lifting the ionosphere in order to interfere with global communications and weather on a battlefield level. And so these guys are literally playing God. And here they say that 2025 is a study designed to comply with the directive from the Chief of Staff of the Air Force to examine the concepts, capabilities, and technologies the United States will require to remain the dominant air and space force in the future. So literally, again, I think they're playing God.